Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Now, Corey, a couple of weeks ago, I was on vacation. Last week, we didn't have a show on Monday for Memorial Day. So it's been a few weeks since you've joined me here on the program. How have you survived these past few weeks without me?
Well, I couldn't, so we had you on the show last night.
You did.
I couldn't wait another 12 hours or 9 hours, or however many hours it was. So we had you on the show last night. Our ratings had never been lower, but that's okay. We appreciate you being there.
Look, I contribute in any way that I can, and I've got a face for radio, as I've been told. Corey, go ahead, Joe.
Hey, real fast, how many times did you touch your face, Robbie, during that interview?
I think zero.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
So you were telling the truth.
Yeah.
I don't think he touched his face.
Okay. We'll get Jared's film room on that a little bit later to verify. We'll see what happens
on
that front. So, Corey, our question of the day discussing the Titans. As they attempt to make the transition, whether that's at some point this year or in 2024 from Ryan Tannehill to Will Levis, can they remain competitive while doing so? What do you make of that proposition that's now in front of Rand Carthon, Mike Vrabel, and the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah. I mean, I think they can. Because, you know, the storyline I've stuck to all along is I think that their defensive front four, if it stays healthy as it's constructed, can keep them in most every game. And then it's up to the offense to not lose games. And that's turning the football over, not having 903 and outs. And so if they can block and if they can run, and if Ryan Tannehill can stay healthy, these are all lists because they didn't know what happened last year. Then, you know, do I think they're going to be a Super Bowl contender? Probably not. But if you're talking about staying competitive, yeah. I mean, I don't think – I know a lot of people have them cratering down into the top five of the draft. And, you know, if Ryan Tannehill's their quarterback and healthy for the season, I don't see that happening. But – I've been wrong before, but I think they'll be able to run the ball, and obviously the big concern is do they have enough in the passing game, you know, to get them over the hump and be more than a, you know, 7, 8, 9 win team.
I asked this of Gentry earlier, Corey. I ask it of you. I need someone to get me excited about minicamp. 3 days.
Oh.
3 days in the sun, the whole team, you know, mandatory, so there's all that. Take out Byard, the inevitable throng around Byard, and the quarterbacks. What are you most keen on this week?
Probably watching the continued, you know, play of the wide receivers to see, you know, because, like, look, I think Treylon Burks looks pretty strong. See how he gets through the weekend, you know, Kyle Phillips, because, again, we forget how good Kyle Phillips looked last year, you know, when we got through camp and thinking that he was going to be a player, and even when the season started, what he was able to do. So I'm excited to see those guys. Look, I'm not going to say I'm excited to see Chris Moore, but I will continue to say he looked better than I expected him to. He was more than I expected him to be. That doesn't mean I'm excited to go watch Chris Moore at camp. I'm sorry, Chris Moore, if you're listening. He's carved out an NFL career for himself, and that's great. And, you know, also watching Spears continue to play. Those, you know, some of those young guys are kind of what I want to continue to see happen. And, you know, what kind of plays can they make? Because, you know, obviously everybody in shorts running around or, you know, not in, you know, non-contact can look good. But there are also times when you see guys, you know, when you see their true athleticism show. And I want to see some of those moments.
Well, Corey, you brought up the wide receiver position. And over the weekend, he's still out there, still available, DeAndre Hopkins. He's going to end up somewhere. We'll see where that is. But if Corey Curtis was the general manager of the Tennessee Titans, to what degree would you be interested in DeAndre Hopkins?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's interesting because it's you go into the draft and people tear people down. And now, you know, you're with DeAndre Hopkins, you've got people tearing it down where you've got, you know, this GM says he can't separate anymore. And this GM says, and so you go, okay, well, maybe, you know, he has missed 15 games in the last 2 years. So what is he? You know, what is he at this stage? And that's the million-dollar question. That's the million-dollar question. And that's where I struggle because, you know, if he's 85% of DeAndre Hopkins from 2-3 years ago, then I'm interested, you know, in a two-year deal. I'm not interested in any more than a two-year deal, but I'm interested, and because I think he could make them a better football team. Obviously, you know, there was a lot of talk about, you know, the Bills being interested and the Chiefs being interested and, oh, the Texans are now interested. Well, obviously nobody's that interested because nobody's come at him with an offer that he can't say no to at this point. So, you know, it's interesting to me how high the price tag is, or actually how low the price tag is, because I would think it's not a blockbuster one at this point because nobody signed him. So I'm interested, but I'm not interested in breaking the bank, which probably isn't enough, I'm going to guess, to land him. But, you know, I'm interested in the Titans being a better football team, and I think he could make them a better football team unless they know something about him and his decline that I don't know.
Well, that's the thing I've seen. You talk about the price tag. I mean, I'm seeing $2-3 million being thrown out there.
Yeah, you know, I know.
If you're him, it's like, oh my gosh. But yeah. It sounds like if somebody comes with, I don't know, 8-9.
Will somebody come with eight or nine? I would come with 8 if that's what it took. I mean, unless, like I said, unless they know something that I don't know, because you can dress up 8-9. You know, say you did 2 years and 16. You know, you can add a third voidable year, and that number gets down to 5. And, you know, it's pretty manageable for a guy who should be able to help you. So 2 is, you know, kind of laughable in my opinion.
Corey, what do you make of the hiring of Andrew Brunett by the Nashville Predators?
Oh, wow. So you want my opinion. Okay.
I do.
I asked you the question last night. I think the interesting thing to me is not just the hiring of Brunett, but the way Barry Trotz talked about offense and speed and skill and just, you know, David Poyle's been kind of chasing centermen and some scoring for years, but, you know, Barry Trotz put it out there that, you know, they want to score goals, a lot more goals. And I think it all signals this kind of transformative era for the Nashville Predators and what they're going to look like and what they're going to be and what they want to be. And so I'm kind of excited, you know, from that perspective. Excited. It's a guy who's had success, so that's great. Obviously there's a nice story about him being an original Predator. The only thing that really interests me about that is the relationship, you know, with the head coach and with the GM and the incoming GM. That there's that relationship there. So those are the things that interest me the most. But most of all, the signal of the seismic shift I feel like we're seeing in the organization.
Well, we're bouncing all over the place, so let me give you a very broad question here, Corey. This past weekend for the two SEC baseball programs in the state, a huge disappointment and a huge win. What does that mean for these programs, big picture?
Well, I mean, you know what? It's really interesting because once teams kind of hit a level, they're always dangerous in the postseason. You know, you see that with teams, you know, whether they be like Vanderbilt or Tennessee or Louisville or Oklahoma, you know, they don't have to be a one seed to necessarily be dangerous, because there's a lot of different paths to how you get to this point of the year. And this is clearly a different Tennessee team than the one that started the first half of the season. And, you know, it further goes to show, you know, Tony Vitello's, you know, strength as a head coach, you know, his ability, you know, to navigate the way through and get hot at the right time. I mean, they did. They got hot at the right time. And suddenly they look like that team that just thumps home runs like the team from a year ago. I mean, they got out the sticks. And with the arms that they've got, if they can continue to hit like that, you know, they're going to be a tough out. And for Vanderbilt, you know, look, this time of the year, everybody's good. Everybody's good. And if you come up a little bit short, you're going to be on the outside looking in. And, you know, it's happened to them before. It happens to everyone. Clemson's going through the same thing right now. And, you know, sometimes, you know, playing at home is great. And I'm not saying that they lost because they were at home by any means whatsoever. But when you're one of those top eight seeds, you know, there's two ways to look at it. One is, you know, I'm the man, come and beat me, and you thump your chest and you just beat people down. But the other is, there's a lot of pressure on you. You know, the expectations are high. You know, you just come off winning the SEC tournament, you know, and people are wondering, okay, if they can win that tournament, they can win the whole thing, which is absolutely reasonable. But, you know, all of a sudden the pressure turns up a little bit, especially the moment you drop into the loser's bracket. And so it's unfortunate for Tim Corbin and for Vanderbilt, but he will survive. And they will continue to be a good baseball team because he's a good baseball coach. He will continue to bring in good baseball players and make them better baseball players. It's the inevitable outcome of tournament play. It just is. I mean, TCU just hung 20 on Arkansas yesterday. And Arkansas, last I saw, was pretty darn good. So, you know, I think all it signals to me is this, you know, competitive battle between the two programs, you know, to be two of the, you know, top 10 programs in the country will continue.
Corey Curtis, versatile as ever, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Corey, it was well worth the wait. 2 weeks is too long, but you delivered as always. Thanks for being with us.
Well, Robbie, I'm glad I can make your life now worth living.
Yes.
And I hope you can make it to next Monday. Oh, by the way, before I go, does Aaron Rodgers get through the entire minicamp with the Jets?
No, he does not.
No. Okay.
Taylor Swift's got a few more stops left on our tour, right? So he's got some flying around to do.
I don't – look, she's wonderful. She is. I don't get it.
Don't, Corey. Don't you dare.
Keep going.
No, he's a grown man.
He's out there. He's vibing, feeling it. He loved it.
He's a grown man.
So what? I wanted to go to the Taylor Swift concert. I just couldn't get a ticket.
Yeah. All right, Josephine.
Hit up Aaron. Hit up Aaron. Corey, thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
All righty. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Lots to react to there with Corey Curtis. By the way, Joe, you want to know a real quick old man take from me from Tennessee and Clemson? Got all this orange, all this beautiful orange that you can wear. Clemson's wearing purple. Tennessee's wearing black. What was that?
No, totally agree. We had that conversation in the 97 hours in the press box. We were all together this weekend, too. Like, neither of you's wearing orange? Really?
What did you guys not talk about in the press box?
I mean, I'll have to think about it. I mean,
a lot of time.
We didn't talk a ton about global warming, but, I mean, that's about the only topic I can think of we didn't get into.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll react to what Corey had to say there. Got some of your thoughts on DeAndre Hopkins as well. We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thanks to Corey Curtis for being with us in the last segment. Joe, DeAndre Hopkins is still out there, is still available, and he's going to end up somewhere. The question is where, and there doesn't seem to be a clear favorite for his services right now. I'm interested to see what exactly the price tag is that he's looking for at this point. Andy on the text line says, Hopkins will have an awesome year with a chip on his shoulder. Tighten up and sign him. This is from Andy. I got another texter that says, I haven't heard much about this possibility, but does Hopkins to the Panthers not make sense? They traded the wide receiver one, and he could help Bryce Young succeed early. And I think he's from South Carolina. This from an unnamed texter. Now, they did, I believe the Panthers went and got Adam Thielen as well, did they not?
I believe that's correct.
So they're getting two veterans in there? Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. The Panthers, I suppose in that division, because I look at the Panthers like, rookie quarterback, not very good. But then again, man, NFC South is ripe for the taking.
Cheeks.
Basically, pretty cheeks. I mean, between those two South divisions, you have, like, your best team is the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
Right? And some people may be overvaluing them a little bit. So, yeah, I suppose. I think with Hopkins, what's interesting now, and this is why I'm keeping the light on for the Titans, is what if no one wants to give him 8 or 9? What if no one wants to give him 6? You know, and that's what you're, to me, maybe the Titans are resolved, like, hey, good luck to you, D-Hop, you know, but maybe it's also just, let's just see where that price tag is. And, like, does 4 or 5 million win the sweepstakes for him at some point? If it does, then that tells you that one GM who said he can't run is far from alone in thinking that.
I agree.
So you want to limit your excitement.
Right. But if it gets down to that point, Joe, with the Titans receiving room being what it is, I would absolutely do that if I was the Tennessee Titans.
No, I agree. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, leave the light on. I mean, it's to me, the question about him, even if he's a reduced version of himself, but as long as you feel like he's healthy and can participate, I struggle to see how he wouldn't help you given the state of the room. Unless, as we discussed earlier in the show today, the state of the room is much better in their view than it is in the outside view. But I have to think that DeAndre Hopkins gives you some help. So what's 4 or 5 mil? And like Corey said, you could do the 2-year thing. You know, you could do all the things you can do with the cap and all that. I mean, that's not a big deal. 8, you know, I mean, that's, if you really have questions about what he is, that range, I don't know, man. I mean, I guess I could still make the case, like, so go ahead. I mean, it's worth a shot. Is it possible that Mike Vrabel, like, doesn't think he's good for a team dynamic? I think it's possible.
Possible.
He certainly knows. I mean, we asked Charles Robinson about that last week, and he says that, you know, a different guy. But definitely what Charles – you could translate what Charles said about DeAndre Hopkins to not one of those guys that you say, quote, loves ball. Now, he isn't, you know, just – nothing but doesn't like live, breathe, and eat football like say like Kevin Byard does, right? So maybe Vrabel already is kind of iffy on that. And then if you throw in questions about how effective he actually is, that's kind of how I feel like they're looking at it. But yeah, keep an eye on it. If that price tag drops to a ridiculous level, to me, take a flyer. I mean, if you get, you get Andre Johnson, one winning touchdown against the Lions, hey, man, it was something.
It was something. And look, I mean, there's all sorts of conversations out there about Hopkins right now. Like the Giants may be making a move for him. There's people trying to connect the dots to the Browns because obviously the Deshaun Watson connection there. You know, obviously the Bills and the Chiefs are always going to be discussed in this until he ends up somewhere. So I have no idea where he's going to land. I do find it interesting, though, that now that he's been available for over a week at this point and nobody's kind of jumped on it, I do wonder what he's asking for and what the discrepancy is with some of these teams. I mean, he's going to be somewhere, and he's going to be somewhere, and he's probably going to play a significant role somewhere when he's healthy. The question is where.
Well, I think if you're him, I think you're appalled at the idea of not making 8 figures, right?
Yeah.
But I also think you're probably starting to look at the writing on the wall and realizing that's just not what it is anymore. But I'm sure going in, he wanted something right in the range of what Odell got.
Chad on YouTube says, does a Hopkins-sized contract really hurt the team next year with so many contracts coming off the books. I really struggle to see much downside. This is from Chad on YouTube.
No, yeah, absolutely. Like you said, next year, a lot of things are off the books. Yeah, I mean, the only, like, again, it's I have the question of, like, did Vrabel, I mean, look, Bill O'Brien, that was a shocking trade, right? We all ratio Bill O'Brien for it. He deserved it. But is there more to it? Like, because I think Vrabel, more than some coaches, is very sensitive to the don't come in and, you know, be a negative energy, be a, what is it, energy vampire.
Yes.
In the locker, in the locker room. Like, is that any kind of a thing here? I don't know. Well, yeah, we can ask Vrabel this week. I'm sure he'll lay it out for us.
Well, the other part of this too, and I realize that they have NWI and they've got Chris Moore. So they have quote unquote veteran wide receivers. But like, to me, there's a big difference between an NWI type veteran and a DeAndre Hopkins type veteran. That's just me. I you know, DeAndre Hopkins has been in every conceivable scenario. You know, he's been one of the best receivers in the league. You know, would that be, you know, how much could a Treylon Burks benefit from being around DeAndre Hopkins? I don't know. You don't sign a guy just for that, and you especially don't give him, you know, several million dollars just for that. But I think DeAndre Hopkins can still play. Like, it's not like he's just a bum out there anymore. I think he can still play. Is he an elite receiver anymore? Probably not. But I think he can help you. And I also, if I'm the Titans, I'm looking at the rest of that room right now and saying, could they use maybe another veteran in there? Because I think they could.
Hey, Mike, don't try to, don't try to get me. I assume you're trolling me. Mike says, did you just say, well, we know what they can do with the cap? I thought the cap was real, which means they can't do nothing with it, right? No, it's a soft cap, Mike. It's a soft cap. You can do a lot with it. That's the smart discussion. The smart discussion is, this isn't a hard cap, it's a soft cap, and there's a lot of liberties you can take with it. The dumb discussion is, it's no factor at all. See the difference?
615-737.
I know you're just trolling me. You're just trolling me, aren't you, Mike?
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue to take your thoughts on DeAndre Hopkins and the Titans. We'll get into more of that. Coming up next, we'll also get into Vanderbilt, their season coming to an end yesterday. How did it happen, and what does it mean for Tim Corbin and this program moving forward? All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. This week's Nashville's best deal is River Queen Voyages. River Queen Voyages is the most fun and unique way to see the downtown skyline from the water. You can get half off a $50 gift card while they last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Lots of baseball action over the weekend. Tennessee advances to the Super Regionals. We'll get into that coming up here in just a few minutes. But, Joe, let's begin with Vanderbilt. You were at Hawkins Field for the majority of this weekend, and Vandy gets things off, or started off on the right foot on Friday. They lose Saturday night to Oregon, and then yesterday, after a very long weather delay, they fall 2-1 at the hands of Xavier. And for the second consecutive season, Vanderbilt is out in the regional round, does not advance to the Super Regional, and obviously, as the sixth overall seed nationally and coming off an SEC tournament win, that is very disappointing for Tim Corbin and this Vanderbilt program. So you were there. You saw it all go down. How did it happen where Vanderbilt finds themselves out of postseason action before the Super Regionals, and what does this all mean for Vanderbilt and Tim Corbin as they move forward here?
Well, it happened because the bats just, the bats have been a thing this year. It's been up and down. They've had some bad series where they really got stifled. You know, Florida's an example, but Florida's really good. They got elite talent, but they've had some other kind of stretches this year where the lineup wasn't great. They were really good in Hoover. I mean, they, late in the season, the two wins against Arkansas, Troy Leneve goes back in the lineup. He's mashing. A lot of bats really cooking, and then just the inability to get the big hit against Oregon, and then you lose that game. You know, the wild thing here, yesterday playing an elimination game on Sunday at home is something Vanderbilt had not done. Now, they have had to do it on Saturday before, losing the first game. They never, it's a very interesting stat that Mitch Light came up with. They never played in the elimination game, like the early Sunday game. They were in it after the Oregon loss, very disappointing loss, 8-7, and they just couldn't, you know, you have to give Xavier credit, tremendous pitching from Xavier, but huge disappointment that the bats didn't get going, and it's tough. I mean, I give Enrique Bradfield a ton of credit because, you know, he showed up at that presser last night. He took responsibility for it. He was really good, you know, talking about his time at Vanderbilt and talking about the program and all that stuff. But look, I mean, he's the star player in this team. He's the leader. He's the emotional leader. He's the catalyst, both in terms of what he does on the base paths and just getting on base, and also emotionally. And he was 0-for-8 in those last two games. It's a tough way for him to go out with his career, because he's going to be, you know, on to the pros and a prominent draft pick here. So that, the top of the lineup doesn't come through, and you know, then you really pitched well yesterday. Sam Loboke was great. Patrick Riley was good. He hit a batter, the bases loaded, and that was the difference. So yeah, it's a just hugely disappointing outcome, because Vanderbilt was set up to be home next weekend, super regional for sure. Oklahoma State has been bounced already, like heavy favorites to get to Omaha, and they're out instead. So what you ask about Tim Corbin, what it means, like, look, I think every offseason now, and maybe some Vanderbilt fans have thought this for the last several years, but I think every offseason now, I think there's an evaluation coming with Tim and Maggie Corbin, who, as we've talked about, like, this is their program. It's not his program and she's his wife. It's their program. And they have their first grandchild. They're in their 60s. And the game has changed. The portal, NIL, that stuff, like portal, especially the portal, NIL. I mean, Vanderbilt has demonstrated that they're going to be competitive. I mean, Tyron Lawrence being back at Vanderbilt, that's a statement for you. Okay.
Sure.
And there's been some guys on football too, but the portal, I mean, even if you want to get into that game, like LSU had just loaded up with a portal team this year, you know, like you can't even really do that at Vanderbilt. Like, like admissions at Vanderbilt isn't just like, sure, anybody come on in, you're good. Hey, take basket weaving. I mean, again, I'm not saying this is like this is like everyone's I'm trying to think of like a smart major and, molecular.
Trigonometry.
There's not a major called trigonometry, right? Like, rocket science. How about rocket? That would be a hell of a major, trigonometry.
I majored in trigonometry.
That was a really hard class, though.
I majored in algebra. That's about where I could go. Pre-algebra. I majored in pre-algebra. Yeah, rocket science, okay? Molecular biology. How about that? That's what I was trying to find, molecular biology.
Sure.
But it is different. You can't just go at Vanderbilt and go in the portal. Bottom line, what I'm getting at is it's changed, and it's not going to make it easier. And they had a good team, a lot of good players this year. They were light on great players. Light on great players because lately a lot of the guys they've had committed have just gone on to the pros. They're recruiting the best of the best in the country. So look, ultimately I think Tim Corbin's going to come back and find his energy and have the summer, and I think they could be really good again next year. I mean, really good. So it's not time to panic. But it is, you talk about the first consecutive years without a super since 2009, and then you see Tennessee over there making a third straight super, and I think a real good chance to go to Omaha 2 out of 3 years. And I get it. If you're a Vanderbilt fan right now, you're not exactly happy today.
Well, no, and, we talked about it earlier, and I brought it up. It's been kind of a strange year from Vanderbilt, and I thought Gentry Estes explained it really well earlier in the show. Like, you look at where they ended up, and they were the 6th overall national seed. They won the SEC tournament, and you look and you say, okay, well, yeah, it's Vanderbilt. I mean, this is what they do. They're one of the top programs in the country, and they are, but it was a weird year. Like, they had times where they looked really, really good, and they dealt with injuries all year long to their pitching staff, and they got smoked by Tennessee. They got beat by Florida. There were some games where, they just dropped, and you're like, man, what's going on with Vanderbilt there? And then you get to the end of the season, and they take 2 of 3 from Arkansas, and they go on and win the SEC tournament, and they're hitting the ball really well. And you're thinking, man, the bats are coming alive at the right time. If you can get to the regional, what happens with Carter Holton? Will he come back at some point? Like, there was a pretty good path to Omaha for Vanderbilt, and for it to be over with this quickly, I think, number one, obviously, is very disappointing. but in some ways is also kind of emblematic of the year they had. They just, it kind of felt like there was never sustained traction, if that makes any sense. They were always dealing with injuries or the lineup would go cold, and they won a lot of games and they ended up number sixth overall in the tournament, and they won the SEC tournament, all those stuff. But it just, it did feel like, at least from my standpoint, kind of a different year for Vanderbilt than we're normally used to seeing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think the real hard thing for Tim Corbin is, you know, some of his best teams, you know, this shows you, like, you got to be careful making the correlation, but some of his teams that have performed the best have also been, like, his best academic teams, just best, like, just locker room teams and everything. And there's no doubt, talking to him and Maggie Corbin, like, this team, they love this team. They're just a great, you know, just group. They get together and like, really good in the classroom. So, one, they wanted it to go long, even, I mean, you want to every year, but they really wanted to keep going with this team. And, you know, when Enrique Bradfield's done after this, and he's, I mean, you know, he's awesome. I mean, he's a great leader and player. And then, so then for it to end this abruptly, man, that's a tough one to swallow. And look, it is also worse. There's no Vanderbilt fan who can tell me this is not true. When you also have to look through your hands and see that Tennessee beat Clemson, yep, and is in great shape to go to Omaha. There's no way it doesn't make it harder. Real fast on Twitter here. Okay.
Okay.
I just want to give you a nice little example. So I had a tweet about Vanderbilt fans waited 4 hours to watch their team go down meekly. Massive disappointment for the number six seed in this tournament, set up to make a run at Omaha. And a Vols fan called E Pluribus Uranium.
Sure.
I mean, it's a picture of the Tennessee checker where it says, carry their water, Joe. Like, I'm like, who's what? Did I carry Xavier's water with that tweet? What are you talking about? But there we go.
Vandy Joe.
There we go. That's right.
Well, and
Vandy Joe, GB Joe.
On the Tennessee side of things, like you said, I mean, they advanced to the Super Regional. They've got a chance to get to Omaha. They'll take on the winner of Southern Miss and Penn coming up later today, with a chance to host the Super Regional. If Penn wins, they will host the Super Regional. And if Southern Miss wins, it'll be, I guess, kind of up in the air as to where the Super Regional is going to be at that point. But if you miss the game Saturday night against Clemson, if you're a sports fan in general, what a game that was to watch. Tennessee down to their final strike. They hit a three-run home run to take the lead. Clemson ties it in the ninth. Tennessee looks like they lose in the 10th, in the bottom of the 10th. And it was a good double play turned by the Vols there that, I guess, beat the runner by about an eyelash, would be how I would describe it. And Tennessee wins ultimately in the 14th inning. And the most amazing part about all that, Joe, was they used three pitchers in the 14 innings. Three of them. It was unbelievable.
Incredible. I mean, Chase Burns still, and Tony Vitello said this again after the game, like, Chase Burns, I mean, he could, like, he has the stuff to, after next season, like, be number one pick viable.
Yeah.
He's a first rounder, and he's a long reliever for this team. but he's had a disappointing year. I mean, when they were really struggling earlier this year, especially him, Dolander too, but especially Burns, the two Chases were struggling, but Burns was just really struggling. And you think back to last year, he's the guy who got blown up by Notre Dame, and Vitello probably left him in the game too long. Incredible story for him to come in and throw 99 pitches in relief.
You'll see that very often.
No, and I mean, talk about some high leverage, high pressure, you know, I mean, the bases are loaded. Before that double play, he gets a swinging strikeout. He was fantastic. And this is why, with Dolander, Lindsey, Burns, Beam, and a whole bunch of guys in the bullpen who are good, they're set up to have success this weekend and in Omaha.
Shane in the Borough on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Joe, I appreciate you tweeting play-by-play for college baseball the last few days. This is from Shane on the text line.
Ooh, burn.
All right, Shane. I know you're trolling me. I'm going to go back and count out how many tweets I had in how many games. So, also Tennessee. So, all the Tennessee and Vanderbilt games, I'm gonna count up how many.
God, can you imagine a play-by-play Twitter in baseball? 0-1 count. Ball outside, 1-1.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, man. If you're pitch-by-pitch, yeah, you're really struggling. Whew. Yeah, Shane,
Greg Almond would be a heck of a baseball
hurt
tweeter.
My feelings. Gotta get him on the race.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on Vanderbilt and Tennessee on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll also get into the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. If you missed it earlier, some NFL news. The Bills signed Leonard Floyd, pass rusher, to a one-year deal. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network had that one first. So Floyd has had at least 9 sacks in each of the last 3 years, Joe. Von Miller, his former teammate in L.A., now his teammate in Buffalo, tore his ACL on Thanksgiving last year, and his availability at the start of the season is in question. So they get Leonard Floyd to go along with Von Miller once he comes back. And by the way, Ed Oliver signed a 4-year, $68 million extension over the weekend too. So Buffalo making some moves in the last couple of days.
Yeah, could be kind of like a almost like a trading deadline acquisition, you know, for him. If you slow playing it, taking it careful, then you got another guy who can get up to the quarterback. Not bad.
Not bad at all. And we'll see if Ed Oliver can keep things going, Leonard Floyd can keep things going the way he has. He is 30 now. So got him at age 30. You got Von Miller coming off a torn ACL. We'll see what that pass rush looks like for the Buffalo Bills. Joe, the NBA Finals last night, the Heat win 111-108, and they go on the road and they tie things up 1-1 in that series. Game 3 going to be in Miami coming up on Wednesday, but that was a big one last night for the Heat. They went through a great start to the game where they were leading by 11, and then Denver went on a 40-14 run after that and took the lead. At one point, was up by 15 points. The Heat stormed back. They scored 36 in the fourth quarter. Duncan Robinson was borderline unstoppable to begin the fourth quarter last night, and the Heat hold on. They win 111-108. That's a big one last night for Miami. There will be no sweep in this series, and the Heat have stolen home court advantage.
Big, big deal. It's so exciting. Just as a general basketball fan that I feel like we're going to have a series, because I wasn't totally down on Miami's chances after game one because I just thought they had a terrible shooting night. I was down on their chances to get stops. Like, how do they put runs together where you're getting 5, 6, 7 stops in a row? You know, at some point you have to do that. Really great job defensively. Their plan last night, and they dropped in that zone quite a bit, but whatever they were doing, it was, you know, Jokic, if you're going to hit all those, I mean, he hits shots in the lane that like aren't necessarily all high percentage shots. I mean, some of them were because he's bullying people to the rim, but they let him get his, but they did not let those shooters be free for him to find, or cutters to get layups. And I think that's a big deal. So the Kevin Love adjustment, Your guy Spo continues to
be an
effective coach. So, and then yeah, like you said, Duncan Robinson. By the way, what was Duncan Robinson's point total?
Let me go back and check.
It was under 20 points.
It was under, because that called shot was looking sweet. If he got to, I still think I should get credit for that. If he had like 18 points and they won, I mean, come on, that's basically getting my shot right.
He had 10.
Oh, that was only 10 points?
Yes.
Good try, Rex.
Okay.
It was 4 or 5.
Yeah. So it's like 3/4 of a shot that I got.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, look, in all seriousness, he kind of led the charge in the fourth quarter to get things rolling for them last night. And I agree, like, defensively, look, Jokic, with the skill set that he brings to the table, he can pretty much do anything. Like, he's shooting absurdly high percentage from three. Obviously, he's got the post moves that he can hurt you with. But I think what you saw in game two and what you might see going forward from the Heat is, you know what, he might score 40, he might score 45, but we are not doubling in him, and we are staying on everybody else, and he can't distribute the ball that way. He had 4 assists last night. So, I mean, look, he made some incredible passes. Like, he made basically a one-touch lob pass to Jamal Murray last night that was just absurd. And being able to pass that way from the center position is just ridiculous. But I think what you saw in game two and what I'm interested to see moving forward is, are they just going to leave him singled up and say, you know what, if you want to drive to the hole and beat us that way, that's fine. We're not letting you find open shooters to knock down those threes.
Speaking of centers, I mean, Bam deserves a little bit of
love here
too. Man, he is playing really well. He's really stepped up. He was – just in a total rut late in that Boston series, but he's giving them exactly what they need. So I'm excited. I think we potentially have good series that are going to go deep in both the NBA and NHL.
On the Stanley Cup final gets underway on Saturday. Vegas wins 4-2, so they are up 1-0 in that series. Game 2 will be tonight, which you can hear right here on 102.5 The Game later tonight. Looking forward to that. Florida tied things up at 2 with about 10 seconds left in the second period in Game 1, and it was right there for the taking for them, but Aiden Hill made some big saves in that game, and Vegas just kind of got to a different level in the third period of Game 1. There were a little bit more penalties called than I expected in Game 1. They didn't really let them play all that much. I'm interested to see if that's a trend that continues here. Some people not very happy with the officiating that cover the series in Game 1, so we'll see what happens on that front. But, I mean, I walked away from it. It's 4-2. I thought it was a game of kind of runs, almost like a basketball game. There were times where it felt like Florida was dominating, Joe, and there were times where it felt like Vegas was dominating, and Vegas ultimately is able to finish a little bit more often in Game 1. But I think we're in for 7. I think this is going to be an awesome Stanley Cup final.
I hope you're right. By the way, let's see. We're almost done with the show. I'm sorry. On the grid, I missed the when is the segment we talk about the Milwaukee Admirals?
Well, you can do it right now.
We did have somebody call and ask.
Your Admirals update right now. They're facing elimination tonight, Joe, so it's a big game.
That's all you got?
You're the Admirals update. Not me.
All right. Well, do we have time for me to complain about the Brewers' bullpen? Because, my God, do they need to call some of those kids up from AAA. Sick of it.
Just done with it.
Just kidding, yes. All you Admirals lovers. I'm just kidding.
They did lose Game 5 at home the other night, so they've got to go on the road to win 2 in Coachella Valley. We'll see if they can do it.
And you know how it gets in Coachella, man.
Yeah, man, it's rowdy.
You never know where they're going to come on the stage, you know. Never know, Blink-182 may bust out a terrible song.
You've been looking forward to this all day, haven't you? You've been waiting for this.
Oh, man. Get a life, Robbie. Yeah, see that? See, that's there's where
you're going to get people tweeting you.
I know. There's where I didn't go that Jared went. That's the difference. Knowing where the line is that you don't cross, Jared.
That is the difference. We'll see what happens on that front today. It was a wild weekend in sports. I'm cherishing these, Joe, because – you know, once the NBA Finals are over and then the Stanley Cup Final comes to a close, you know, we'll still have postseason baseball. By the way, I did enjoy, in all seriousness, I watched a lot of softball this weekend. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to the Vols.
Lady Vols, big win over Oklahoma.
They lost.
They did not beat Oklahoma. I don't think anybody's beating Oklahoma.
They got rolled. No, they got rolled by Oklahoma. They beat, who did they beat yesterday? Was it Oklahoma State they beat yesterday?
Oh, my bad. Yep, Oklahoma State.
So that yeah, you know.
But Oklahoma's right, like 58-1. I don't think anybody's beating them.
They've won 50 straight. But that rematch is potentially coming around, yep. and with better pitching from Tennessee. So, yes. It's a lot of fun. It's a fantastic sport and event at that level for sure.
Well, I mean, I'm soaking it all in because we're not that far away, Joe, from the sports calendar taking a little bit of hiatus, I guess, unless you're a gigantic Major League Baseball fan, which some people are, so more power to you. But you'll have MLB going on, you'll have MLS going on, and training camp from the NFL will be right around the corner. But the point being, these next couple of weeks here, I'm soaking it all in, Rex Road. Live sports.
It's like we say, hug your loved ones, you know, yes. Tell people you love them. Tell sports you love them right now because, you know, we got a couple weeks left.
You could be a big golf guy. And, you know, Rex Road's a big golf guy. Watching a lot of golf.
Or soccer,
lately.
MLS.
Yeah, for sure.
That's true. That is true. That's a big help.
That is a big help. There's no question about that. So Game 2 of the Cup Final coming up tonight. We'll see who Tennessee is playing in their Super Regional after today as well. Southern Miss and Penn playing later today, and Tennessee will take on the winner of that series in the Super Regional. So looking forward to that. Joe, have yourself a wonderful rest of your day. Hopefully no rain delays for you today. You got your fill of that yesterday. That does it for us. Chase and Michelle coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.